Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. But we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families will never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Now, that peace of mind means so much. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
Welcome to episode 235. We will talk to Jana Kramer coming up in a little bit. And Eddie's back again.
Yeah.
Like we have nothing to do except do this.
I don't, really. I mean, this is the time to come over whenever I want.
Traffic, fine?
Zero traffic.
You know, I made the observation this morning that finally you all get to see what Christmas is like for me.
You did. Because that is sad a little bit. I mean, your explanation was pretty sad because I don't, no offense, but I mean, I'm busy doing my Christmas. I'm not thinking what you're doing.
Yeah.
So yours is kind of just
alone.
Lonely, huh?
The streets are empty. Most things are closed, but you got to Google and see what's really happening.
Yeah.
You can move around pretty easily, but again, you kind of got to piece it together what's available and what's not. So, yeah, this is what Christmas feels like for me.
Yeah, it's not good. Sorry, dude.
Especially when I'm alone.
Yeah. Not anymore, though. You have a girlfriend.
Woo! Yeah. I told her that later. Today, I was talking to her because she's here. And I was like, hey, this is kind of what Christmas feels like to me. She was like, stop it. You'll never spend Christmas alone again.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, but who will I spend it with?
You're like, I can't think of anyone that I would spend Christmas with.
So we'll talk to Jana Kramer coming up in just a little bit. I wanted to talk about music and movies, and it also gives us a way to promote Mike D's podcast called Mike D's Movie Podcast. What's the easiest search on that?
Movie Mike's.
Oh, that's what it's called.
Yeah,
it's
Movie
not
Mike's.
Mike's Mike, it's
Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. There's Movie Mike's shows up anywhere.
Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. And so what you have here are your top three music movies.
Yep.
And what did you base this on?
I based this on movies that impacted me the most and just ones that I think stand alone that anybody could watch and get to know like about these artists.
Okay. Top three movies. Mm-hmm. And you've seen all three of them.
I've seen all three.
Did you watch them recently?
I rewatched one of them just to kind of get an idea again of how it affected me when I first watched it.
Yeah.
And then the other two I've seen probably like a year or two ago.
All right. Coming in at number three.
Straight Outta Compton. So it's the story of NWA. And I think it's one of the best biopics that's ever been done on like any group, just because I love it when they show the rise and fall of an artist in a biopic. And you kind of get NWA from the very beginning when it started with Eazy-E to how he found everybody, how they got screwed over, all the way leading up to where everybody else kind of started branching off and having their solo careers. And their story is pretty crazy. Like the guy, their record label guy who found Eazy-E, he was essentially just trying to make him the star of the group. So he treated him so much better and cut him like his own record deals and was kind of like a jerk to everybody else and taking their money from them. And I didn't know that about them. I didn't know that about Eazy-E, how like he was like the face of the group. And I think it was just crazy to see.
Did you see Straight Outta Compton?
No, and I saw that it was for free, I think, on demand this week while I'm looking through video through like movies on the list. So I will see this now.
Where can you watch it now?
You can watch it on Hulu, and I think they just made it on demand on some other places. But Hulu, if you have it there, you can watch it for free.
And what's its Rotten Tomato score?
88%.
I liked it. I felt like it was very glossy. Because all of a sudden, they're like, we're going to get the group together. We're going to do a record deal. Smash cut. Sold out show in Detroit.
Right. Didn't happen that way.
It was a little Hollywood for me. Because again, I was just on the end of NWA. Mike D really didn't cross over with NWA at all, like the real life version. I was just on the end. And when Ice Cube was starting to blow up. But Ice Cube's son plays Ice Cube in this movie too, which is interesting.
That's cool.
You'll like it. As long as you go into it knowing it's a Hollywood version of NWA. And if you're someone who didn't actually see all that happen, because it's a pretty, and I say this in the most complimentary way, it's a pretty grimy story.
Yeah.
And so watch it. I think you'll like it. If you don't know anything about him, it's an interesting movie.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know anything about him, really.
So, but it's, Dr. Dre produced it. So the issue whenever you have somebody producing it that was in it is they packaged it up real nice to make everybody look real good.
It makes him look pretty good too, isn't it?
Dr. Dre is like the kid. He's got just doing the beats. He's like the good kid.
And I wish it showed some more about like Dr. Dre because he had like a whole other music career even before he got into this stuff. He was doing like funky like jazz stuff before and they don't show that in
What
there,
was his role in NWA?
He's the beat guy.
The beat guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he wasn't the rapper, and then he started rapping. He was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But he's never really been a big rapper.
No. I mean, he's only put out, what, two, like, albums?
And he's done some...
It was a big album, though.
But Chronic?
Yeah, Chronic was huge.
But he's also done a lot of features on records.
Yeah.
So, but do you know who is in NWA?
Eazy-E, like Mike said.
Okay, go ahead.
Ice Cube.
Yeah.
And then...
There's three more.
Flava Flav. Mm-mm. And no, I don't
That's
know
Public
rest.
Enemy. So Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
DJ Yella, probably the least famous of all of them.
Okay.
MC Ren, who's the second least famous one. Mm-hmm. Ice Cube and Eazy-E. Eazy-E died of AIDS.
Yeah.
Really?
You see this at the end of the movie, right?
Yeah, very end.
Wow.
Pretty sad.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So I also liked it. I wouldn't put it in my top music movies because again, whenever someone's producing it, you know it's almost like, do you have Bohemian Rhapsody on your list?
No.
Okay. I like Bohemian Rhapsody fine. There was that smash in that movie, too, where they go, oh, man, we just got together. Is this band ever going to make it? Boom. We're playing the huge stage. Yeah. We're on the tops of the pop TV show. Well, you're like, man, I get it. You only had an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours to make a movie. But at some point, you have to jump it. But the guys in Queen were producing the movie.
Yeah. And they wanted it even different than it was made. They wanted Freddie Mercury to die in the middle of the movie and then be about them going on after him. Could you imagine
how terrible that would be? Yeah. So my point is when someone is doing their own biography, it's really going to shine a positive light for the most part, a net gain on the person that's producing the movie.
And to that point too, I believe Johnny Cash's son was behind Walk the Line. And Johnny Cash's son with June's son as well, not the first wife's son. So that's why kind of you see the story based on June and Johnny versus his first wife.
That, you know, and that's an interesting, not story, but it's an interesting like sub story between those two because we think of Johnny and June as this big romantic loving couple, but there was some cheating going on.
Big time.
I mean, Johnny was cheating with June on his first wife and she knew it.
Yes. And you watch the movie and you don't even pick that up because you're like, oh, they have such a wonderful love story. But no, he was married with three kids, you know, like this should be bad, but we don't even see it that way.
Again, when you have those people producing it, but I will also say this as a macro view at the world and stories and history, the winners always tell the stories. History is told by the winners.
All right.
So that's stories of wars. That's producers in movies telling stories like, because Dr. Dre and Ice Cube are so famous, because they're so famous and they have the power to make this movie, they won. They get to make the movie and put it in the image they want to put it. Same thing with war stories that we hear about, World War I, II. The winners tell the stories.
Yeah, Civil War even.
So just know that in general. The stories that get passed on through generations, be it Ice Cube or... You know, the War of 1812.
Yeah, good point.
The winners tell the stories.
Mm-hmm.
Great point, me.
It's a good one, dude.
Thank you. I didn't even know I was going to make it today. Yeah. All right. That's your number three movie straight out of Compton.
My number three.
All right, go ahead. Number two, movie Mike's favorite music movies.
At number two, starring Lou Diamond Phillips, I got La Bamba.
Yeah.
You love this one?
Oh, I love it. I grew up with this.
Why'd you like that one, Mike? Sam is Eddie?
I mean, I think it's the Mexican factor. First of all, I've never been able to identify with like a character before, and I didn't know much about Richie Valens before I started watching this, but as a kid, I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, there's somebody actually like me who did something like this, who was so big. And just the his like him, what he was to Mexican culture and like Mexican American culture, I think that kind of resonated with me more. I also love the time period, like the 50s are like my favorite time to kind of set a movie in. And I think at the end of the movie, it's more so a story about brothers than it is almost about the music, but that kind of ties everything in together. So I think that's kind of why it stands the test of time, of kind of going back to a movie you can watch more and more, that it's not just about like the story of like Richie Valens, it's like him and his brother.
Yeah, it's good. I kind of felt that connection too, because I have an older brother, and a lot of times we felt the connection between Bob and Richie with him and I, and we would compare ourselves a lot. You know, he would have a little bit of jealousy with stuff, even when I went to college, and he's just like, oh, wow, you went to college, like doing big things, and I'm still over here in our hometown. He's like, I'm kind of like Richie. You're like, oh, I'm like Bob. You're like Richie. A lot of comparisons from a movie that we were just raised with. I didn't think that that movie would have such a big impact in our lives, but it does. I love that movie.
I've never seen it.
Bones. It's so good.
It's on Netflix now.
It is?
Yes. So you can watch it.
I wonder if this is one I got to get the kids to watch too. Guys, there's a movie about our culture. Play.
How long is it? I like back in the old days when the movies were a little shorter than they are now.
I wouldn't say it's over an hour 40. I'd say right an hour and a half.
I like the... Joe, you ever seen that movie? La Bamba? Joe's our video guy. He's editing over there.
So in my young college film careers, I made a movie in college. And I got to go to different film festivals. And this one film festival, the director that directed La Bamba, he was a guest or whatever. And I got to go to an after party, and oh my gosh, I had a few beers in me. So I like bugged the crap out of him about like, I started doing lines to him like, dude, so was it really like Richie? He's just like, we don't know if it really happened that way. We just kind of went with it.
I know the sub story of that, meaning
Buddy Holly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the La Bamba sub story would be, because that's about his life.
Yes.
But how, you know, it ended with him in the plane crash. But I mean, I'm very familiar with that as a main story. More so than what happens at the end of I'm assuming it's the end of the movie?
Yeah, the end of the movie.
Because it's his whole life, mm-hmm. and then at the end, yeah. So, like, I know all of that.
Put it on your list. with everything on Netflix and all the streaming services, watch that one.
Rotten Tomatoes score?
It is a 97.
Yeah!
The director, Louis...
Valdez?
Yeah.
I have a bunch of movies?
No, that's his only hit. He did one movie before this, and then after that...
Yeah, I think the one he was doing at that film festival never did anything.
So bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
What?
This'll be the day that I die. And I know.
10 minutes later, you're still going.
And your number one music movie?
My number one music movie is This Is Spinal Tap.
Wonderful. Yeah. And
yes.
And then this is my right down my lane, because this inspired everything that I love about TV and movies now.
Mm-hmm.
There wouldn't be The Office without Spinal Tap. There wouldn't be all of those Christopher Guest movies. It's the name, right?
Yeah.
All those movies that I love, from
Best in Show,
Waiting for Guffman, mm-hmm. all those.
Is it mockumentary?
It
just wouldn't have existed. And I love them so much.
Is that Rob Reiner?
Yeah, Rob Reiner.
Crazy.
All right, why is this your number one movie?
Well, the thing with me and Spinal Tap is I was a kid, and I remember watching The Simpsons, and they were in an episode of The Simpsons, and I was like, hey, that's a real band. And I remember seeing this movie on VHS at the video store and being like, oh, Spinal Tap, like that's a documentary on a band. And watching it the first time, I was like, oh, that's not what it is at all. And I think over time, it's become kind of my basis of comedy. Like everything in that movie is just, I've never seen anything done like that before. And I just think it holds up, and it's just funny, man.
It still holds up a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, the quotes still live forever. Yeah.
And even the, you know, we were thinking about doing a scene last week with Dierks Bentley's band, Hot Country Nights. And we were kind of writing an opening sketch for the Opry show with them. And someone had thrown out, hey, why don't we do the Spinal Tap where they can't find the stage?
Love it.
Yeah. But that's still a thing.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that we're sitting in a writing room going, why don't we do the Spinal Tap thing? We're Hot Country. And we didn't do that. But it's, you know, that's the thing. It's still the thing.
They take a left and they're in a closet.
And then they come back and then it's the same guy. It's like, how'd you end up back here?
We did that once in Austin.
We did. Because there was a trap hole or something.
We were playing a bar for a benefit.
Yeah, speakeasies. And they said, go that way. And it was really just out of the movie. I got my guitar up. Bobby has his guitar up. I'm like, oh, let's go, boys. This is it. Let's go. Packed house. And then the hallway just stopped. They're like, okay, back it up, back it up.
And then we went somewhere else, and there was like a door that halfway opened, and it was only the top part of the door that opened to get to the stage. We couldn't get to the bottom part, so then we're like, all right, this ain't gonna work either. So we're just searching for the stage. Rotten Tomatoes score on Spinal Tap?
95%.
Yeah.
Wow. And the movie was an 80s movie.
Yes.
Like early 80s too, I think, right?
Do we? Yeah, 1984.
How do you watch this now?
You have to rent it, so it's like $4 on like iTunes.
Well, I think it's worth the rent if you're a music or a comedy nerd.
Yeah.
This is a music podcast, so maybe it's for you. I think it could be a struggle to watch in the same way that I love, and I make this reference a lot, I love watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but if you've never seen The Fresh Prince or you're not a fan of Will Smith, you didn't grow up in the 90s, you may watch this and go, this show's dumb.
Yeah. You're not getting that connection. I mean, with Spinal Tap, I tried to get my wife to watch it a long time ago, and she wasn't interested. So, and she loves music. It's just, I mean, for a guy, you know, that loves music and that plays music, I think it's automatic that you love this movie.
I want to pull up Christopher Guest movies because I think I've seen them all. Because once I found out that he made a ton of movies, I think I just started walking down all Christopher Guest lane. Okay, we have Spinal Tap, seen it, loved it. Waiting for Guffman, you ever see it?
Or
the local productions, they keep waiting, and so they're doing this, fantastic.
Like a video production?
It's a play.
Okay.
Like a community play.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Community theater.
And they're waiting for
For the big reviewer to come from, I believe, New York.
Yeah.
But it's them getting ready and being pumped for him. But again, it's a mockumentary. It's like you're watching a documentary. Best in Show, fantastic. A Mighty Wind, very underrated. It came out later, but I thought A Mighty Wind was great. For Your Consideration, pretty good. Not my favorite of all of them. But The Princess Bride, he did that.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Not a mockumentary.
No, regular feature film.
Yeah. And then Mascots, which I never saw Mascots, came out 2016. Have you seen Mascots?
I haven't seen Mascots, no.
I feel like such a fraud.
That's the one movie you haven't seen.
It's like me going, wait, there's another John Mayer album that I don't know about?
Right.
Whenever Mike was going to come on and talk about these movies, mine is not a rating. But I think about my favorite music movies, because I know we've talked about favorite biopics before. But if I could recommend one, that Searching for Silverman?
Sugarman,
thank you.
Fantastic.
What's it? Why do I get the Silverman thing mixed up?
Saving Silverman?
Got it. Searching for Sugarman, and it's on Netflix, I think.
Yeah, it should still be on there, yeah.
It's a documentary about a guy who was from Detroit, was like a, you know, rock, blues kind of guy.
60s guy.
And just stopped making music. But then he found out that they took his music to South Africa. He didn't know about it. And he was wildly famous in South Africa. But the people thought he had died. They had told him he died. So
yes, they had a made-up story about him that he had committed suicide. And so, I mean, I'm sure that added to the admiration of this guy. Like, oh my gosh, this is great. Listen to his music, and we don't have him anymore. And that one album was huge.
So
while he was living in Detroit,
poor,
in poverty.
So the guy's wildly famous in South Africa, doesn't know it. They worship, adore. They're all massive fans. There was no social media for him to be connected back through.
Right.
Their story of him was all wrong. They couldn't get a hold of him. So it's that story of his music blowing up, how he got robbed, his life, and then what happens at the end.
The ending is fantastic.
I would put that as a really great music movie.
Yes.
I would put Ray up there.
Such a good movie.
And Jamie Foxx was so good in it. And Jamie Foxx is so talented. And the fact that Jamie Foxx blindfolded himself to like live in character for that movie.
Yeah, glued his eyes shut.
Crazy.
I mean, that's some dedication to a character.
And the hardcore drugs that Ray did.
Yeah. Something I didn't know. You don't think about that, you know, and how he treated certain people too.
Yeah, not always a wonderful story, meaning not warm and fuzzy all the time. But I think Ray is fantastic. Searching for Sugarman.
Walk the Line.
It's pretty good.
Okay.
Again, when you have people that are involved at protecting the image of something that they're connected to,
yeah.
I thought the movie was good, but I didn't go into it like that was completely 100% yeah. believable.
Yeah, I think on your list definitely was 8 Mile.
Yeah, as a like a bio, but that's not really a biopic, but it's loosely based on Eminem. I had one other one I wanted to bring up. Let me see what it was. Do you like A Star? Not on mine, but do you like A Star Is Born?
I did like A Star Is Born, yeah. But again, I'd seen all the movie. I'd seen all the versions of Star Is Born. I started watching A Star Is Born with the 1940 version.
So that's true.
That's the one I saw first, and then I saw the Kris Kristofferson one.
Weirdly into old movies.
I love old movies. And so then I saw the Kris Kristofferson one, and I'm like, that's really good. It was Kris Kristofferson and Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is such a cool story. So when I went into the new one, I knew the story, and I knew how it was going to pan out. So it wasn't as exciting to me as most people said it was, because I knew the storyline. But still, I thought they did a great job.
The other couple that I made a note on was That Thing You Do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not a biopic, but the story of...
Fictional music movie.
The Oneaters.
The Oneaters, but they're Wonders, but they spelled it one O-N-E, The Oneaters.
I quit. Yeah. I quit. I quit.
That was good. And the Blues Brothers.
Yes.
Which is a great one.
Yes, that is a good one.
Which had a number one album at the same time that John Belushi had a number one TV show, SNL, at the same time he had a number one movie at Animal House, all at the same time.
Crazy.
He's just blowing up.
You imagine his career just flying at that point.
Yeah, that's why he died. It just a lot all at once and freaking OD'd.
Yeah, but he was supposed to be in Ghostbusters.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Bill Murray take that spot?
They ended up, yeah.
He was going to be Bill Murray's career.
And they ended up, that's why they made him Slimer. They made him look like him.
Oh.
It's an homage.
The Bill, because I saw the movies that made us on that. I think it was Bill Murray, right?
Yeah.
And that it was like the day before, and they still didn't know if Bill Murray was going to show up. Like, even then, he was so the same weird as he is now. It's not like he just turned into this weirdo. Yeah. He's always been that weirdo. And they were like, is Bill even going to show up? And then he showed up like
the day they started filming.
Have you seen the Bill Murray stories?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen the Netflix show.
What's it called? I don't know the official name of the documentary, but this is where people just tell the stories of how they met Bill Murray. It's so crazy.
The one of the guys in Austin that it was South By or something, and Bill Murray's in a bar, and they're like, hey, we're playing music. And then he just goes to that house.
To the house.
And like chills, and there's like a little house music, and he's playing like drums.
Do you remember that band that's in that?
I don't know.
The Like?
No.
They would come to our studio all the time at Emmy Television when we worked there.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Really
good?
They were really good. Three girls called The Like, and I don't know if they're still together, but they were really good back then. And we, I don't remember where they were from. I think they were from the Northeast, but every time they were in Austin, they would stop by the studio. So when I saw that documentary, I was like, I know those girls, and they're hanging out with Bill Murray.
Yeah, he would just be at random places. I guess he lives in South Carolina.
I think so, yeah.
And that's why he's a big South Carolina minor league baseball person.
I think he's part owner of that.
Yeah.
Of that team.
And then he has a big red phone that you just call and leave a message, and he may get to it, he may not. No cell phone. And I think when those stories first started coming out that was just his thing, and he's being crazy Bill Murray now. But no, apparently he's always been like that. Even on that movie he did with Scarlett Johansson in Japan.
Oh, it's such a good movie. Lost in Translation. Yeah.
That was a thing. I don't think they got along that well because he was so weird.
But I'm sure she was weird too. France, what's her name? Who's the director of that? Sofia Coppola, which is Francis Ford Coppola's daughter.
I never saw it.
Oh, you never seen that movie?
Uh-uh.
Bones, it's really good. I think, weirdly, it's your style. Where it's very sad. It's got a sad kind of feel to the whole thing. Lonely feel.
Yeah, but I'm not lonely anymore. Like we said earlier,
you got a girlfriend now.
Yeah, she's been here for like a week and a half now.
I think you'd love it.
All good. Mike D, appreciate that. You can check out Mike D's podcast. He was talking music movies here, but he talks movies all the time. And what are you talking about on this latest episode?
I'm going through how movies make money. So overall, like at the end of the day, what they have to do to make money, and then how all that revenue comes back to them.
Like, what do they have to do? I don't understand. Like, you put it out, and then you make money at the box office, and there you go.
Well, it's like all the cost in between of them, like having to like make the actual movies that go to movie theaters that they put in there, all the promotion that goes into it, like all the hidden costs behind when you hear like the gross income that a movie makes. That's not really what they end up taking away, what it seems like. So there's a bunch of other stuff in there.
I've always wondered if the theater has to purchase the movie just not knowing if it's going to be a hit or not.
Can I speculate? Because I don't know the answer to this.
Okay,
you can tell me if I'm right or not. What I think is that theaters only make money off concessions and food and things inside the theater, and make no money off the tickets. The production companies, the movie companies.
Okay.
They send movies to theaters.
So it serves kind of like a venue, where like the theaters like
help me out.
Sort of. They do pay a little bit to actually rent the movie.
They do.
Yeah. So they get a big hard drive that the movie's on, and they take that hard drive.
You're a kid.
They take that hard drive and they play it and they factor it out based on the demand for tickets for that movie. But really where they make money is concessions and all that stuff.
Does a theater make any money off a movie?
Yes. It's maybe like 10% of what they take home.
So very little.
Yeah, but really what they make is like people coming in and buying stuff. That's why stuff is so expensive.
Interesting.
And why they don't want stuff to move straight to streaming.
And why all the lobbies are full of video games and Dance Dance Revolution and any way to make money.
But then another level on that of what I go into is like, some movies are basically just a commercial for other things. So like Disney movies, while you see them as like, okay, this is a Disney movie for kids, what really they're pushing towards is selling merchandise. Like those movies are basically just hour and a half commercials.
So where they make their money. They won't make as much money on a big movie as they will selling crap about
like
the movie.
Like a Toy Story will make so much money, but where they really kill it is in the merchandise after.
Yeah.
Like with the Star Wars movies back in the day.
Oh yeah, even
like,
now.
Yeah, like those movies, they would only sell that amount of merchandise when a movie was out. When those movies weren't in theaters, they weren't making as much.
Huh. So check it out. You like movies?
That's interesting.
I just learned something too.
Yeah.
Movie Mike's movie podcast. Check it out. You can just search Movie Mike and put it on your podcast. Listen, let's be honest. You're all quarantined in anyway. Looking for stuff to do. Eddie and I are going to play video games when this is over.
Yeah, we are.
I saw, and Mike and I are going to get into headset Call of Duty soon. Have you played, though?
I haven't played yet.
I haven't either. I haven't opened it.
I downloaded it. It took like 8 hours.
I saw. You know, my internet kept going out, so it took me like 4 days to download it. It's like how the Pilgrims used to download games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sure, they download a lot of games. I'm worried about the time you guys are going to be wasting.
Who?
You guys.
Doing what?
Playing one game of Call of Duty.
I don't waste time.
Like for example, our basketball game. Like, it was fun. I had a blast.
45 minutes.
But before you know it, that was almost an hour. And we're like, wow.
Yeah, I need that stuff because I have a lot of goals during this break.
Yes, you do.
I'm going to write like 20,000 words for a new book, hopefully. I'm going to get 2 workouts in a day. When I start doing this show from this house, because it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. At some point, it's going to happen. I was just watching the news, and the doctor that works for the White House just said most likely we'll see a peak in corona cases in 45 days. A peak.
So we haven't seen anything yet.
Oh, we've seen nothing yet. Yeah, yeah. So that's 5 weeks for the peak. So you're talking about 8 or 9 weeks. God, I'm running my Peloton a lot.
Twice a day.
Yeah. So, all right, check out Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. And if there's ever something you would like us to talk about on this, because this is a music podcast, go to the Bobbycast Instagram page or Twitter and send us a note.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, hey, it'd be cool if you guys talked about this, because we're always looking for stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
And, you know, we bring people in. I don't know if I'll be able to bring guests in for a while or have to do them on the phone. Because nobody wants to get the corona. Not that we will, but nobody wants to get it and then not get sick and pass it to somebody else.
Do you think it'd be easy to get guests now that they're all quarantined and not touring and busy?
On phone, yes, I do. I think it'd be a lot easier just to get somebody to pick up.
So you're going
to
aim high?
Well, yeah. So
Bono?
Later on to... dang it. Yeah.
What's he doing?
I wasn't going to go Bono. I was going Rolling Stones. Yeah, Mick
and Richard would be cool. Keith would be cool.
You got to protect them. They're like 100.
Cool. Oh, gosh. They're very... susceptible.
There you go.
All right, there you go. Thanks, Mike.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
Janet,
son. Hey, it's Bobby. Is this Mike?
Hey. What's up, Bobby? How you doing, man?
I need someone to answer my phone for me like that. Hey, Mike, what's happening, dude?
Janet's assistant / handsome husband / cook.
Hey, do you cook?
Here's the baby.
Oh, boy, there's just like a whole family thing going on.
Sounds like my house.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, what's happening?
I'm gonna go hide in my closet. How are you?
We're good. I just hit your Instagram story because I wanted to be caught up on what was going on. I had no idea that this whatever just happened where you were flying back from a movie. I literally was gonna. I like to talk to Jana whenever we have nothing to talk about because we're bringing people on to do their five quarantine songs. And mm-hmm. I had a friend on yesterday that's not in music at all, named Matt Jones, who is so funny. And I was like, you know, who'd be good to talk to is Jana. And then. Wait, give me like a 30-second story of what just... Well, you came back from Canada from a movie?
Okay, 30-second story. I booked a movie. I was supposed to leave on Saturday, and everything was kind of happening here, but everyone in Canada, producer said, everything's fine in Canada. Like, let's go. Like, you need to be here. So I was like, all right. So I got on the flight with my family and the kids because I was advised that everything was fine there. And then some more cases started popping up in Canada, and then I started to get really nervous, and they started talking about border closes, you know, the borders closing, and then we shot our first scene on Monday, and then the second scene, the producer said, we're pulling the movie, and you have to get back to the States ASAP. And I just was freaking out, and so 48 hours later, packed everything back up, because we had packed about a month's worth of, you know, clothes and bags, so packed it all up, and then all of our flights were canceled, but then my best friend, her dad had a plane, and then she sent it up to Canada, and they got us.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Is your best friend super loaded? Is she famous? Tell us more.
No, she's just, her dad just, you know, they're very fortunate people, and I called her bawling my eyes out, and she's like, don't worry, we'll figure it out. We'll get you out of there.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I was going to ask you about how you got back into the States, because as I watch a lot of these people coming back to America that are Americans, they can't get back through customs, but if you fly private, you don't have to go customs, right?
Well, so that actually what we had to do is we had to cross the border through New York. So we had to drive about an hour and a half to Ogdenburg, New York, and then that's where we caught the plane. But the border people, it was just us crossing the border at the time. I thought it was going to be crazy, but they let us go through, but they asked a bunch of questions, you know, if we were running a fever and everything else, but we got through.
They just asked you? You're sweating.
No, I'm all good, man.
I'm like, no, I'm good.
I swear, I'm fine.
Just vomiting. Trust me, I'm all good. So you guys are back in Nashville?
Yeah, we're back. So we got back last night at 10:30.
And who's quarantined in your house? You, Mike, and the two kids?
So me, Mike, yeah, and both kids.
And so you got like, what? This is going to be 5 or 6 weeks where you're doing this. What are you going to do with the kids that long?
You think it's going to be 5 or 6 weeks?
Oh, yeah. I think it'll be more than that. I mean, I was watching, again, it's so fluid that every day it changes, but every day also they're shutting us down more and more, meaning they're going Northern California, you're about to be locked down. New York's about to be locked down. And everything is coming from the coasts and coming inward because there are more people in those spots, right? So the more people, the more cases, and it is slowly closing in where eventually they're going to have to go, all right, we're just going to tell everybody to sit down, shut up, and stay in your house for a bit.
Sure.
But so, yes, I think we're all
going to. I feel a little silly that I was so naive about it.
I don't think you're the only one that was naive, though, because
I really felt like I even went on my Instagram and was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to Canada. And then I look back on that. I'm like, you're an idiot.
It's so fluid,
like,
though.
You should have stayed home.
But here's what I'm going to say. It's so fluid that you had people saying even 3 days ago, hey, go out to a bar or a club. Who cares? Like, go live your life. But now they're going, oops, we were wrong. And I was watching Fox News yesterday because I will, for the most part, watch CNN. I feel like it's the best in the middle. I can't watch Fox. They're way too far on the right. MSNBC is way too far on the left for me to believe that their narrative is true. Like, I think they're both trying to protect what they feel is sacred the most. And I get it, but even on Fox News, yesterday they were going, I was watching The Five, and they were going, yeah, we're wrong about going out to places. Like, you shouldn't go to places. Yeah. We were wrong. And so to see them even say that, my point is, I think we're all becoming less naive as we're told to be less naive. And so, no, I don't. And if you did it now after being told that, I think I would feel different about it. But you did. I mean,
that's true.
The West Virginia governor today was telling their people, hey, go eat dinner. They don't have any.
He wasn't.
He was.
Oh my gosh.
But they're going to lock us all down.
I mean, I just want people to be safe because I start thinking about my grandparents, and that's where I just start to feel real guilty about the choices that I made a couple days ago. Because I'm like, I just don't want to affect people that could really hurt from this, you know?
Well, we're going to be quarantined in. We're lucky. We're going to be fine. In the end, we're all going to do our best to make sure that the people that would feel it the worst don't. You know, I was talking to one of our best friends whose wife is immunocompromised because she's had some stuff happen recently. And he's 33 years old and she's, you know, in 30s and early 40s. But he doesn't leave his house because if he leaves his house and he gets it and doesn't even know he has it and takes it to her, then it could really affect her.
Yeah.
And I was watching the doctor today say that, hey, young people, anybody 45 and below, like, yeah, you're probably going to be okay. You may not even know you got it. But if you have it and you pass it to somebody that isn't okay, like, that's where the bad news is going to happen. So as we quarantine ourselves, I brought Jana on because, one, she's just great to talk to. And two, I thought it would be fun to, one, in a second, talk about your podcast, also talk about Good Enough. But hear what your 5 quarantine songs would be. You're locked in your house. You're going to add it to our quarantine playlist. What is song number one?
Okay, so it's my go-to for any time I have an anxiety attack. It brings me right back to home. Fire and Rain, James Taylor.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a
real good
one. You ever see James Taylor with long hair before he started losing his hair?
No.
It's crazy because we only know James Taylor as bald, old man James Taylor, but like 60s and 70s.
He's cool looking.
Long hair.
Good
really?
Looking dude.
I'm going to have to Google that right after we stop.
Not the old bald guy with glasses.
I've seen fire and I've seen rain. Jam. This is a good one.
So good.
Which is brings me to the question of.
Reminds me of up north.
Oh, wait. Why do you say that?
It just reminds me of being up north, campfire, where, you know, I was a kid, nothing was wrong. And just, I don't know. It's like anytime my therapist ever says, okay, picture the place, you know, your safe place, and up north Michigan is always my safe place. And that song.
One of your last Instagram stories had, you had mentioned something about going to couples therapy. I've been in a relationship for 4 months or so now. So
I know. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So
you guys seem, I just want to say a side note. I know you don't like talking about
yourself. I'm good. No. Go ahead. I'll sit back. Go ahead.
Oh, I like it. Okay. Side note, I have never seen you authentically as happy as you look right now. Like, even when I watch your stories, there's a difference in your eyes. There's a difference in your, just how you interact, how you talk. You just seem so happy.
Eddie, do you feel that way?
Yes. That you feel that way? Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I feel like you're a lot happier. I feel just the way your demeanor is every day. Yeah. Like, I think you're truly happy inside.
Interesting.
All the feels right now.
Okay. I mean, I am happier. I just wonder if it's because you know I'm in a relationship, so you look for that and you kind of make your own story.
No, you can just tell how you interact. And like even like the games you do and when you do the, you know, the review of the movies, you have that cute like Bobby smile. Like inside you're like, I'm really happy right now.
Man.
Well, thank you. What?
Are we right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely happier, yes. But I want, because you're coming from two different places, because she is from someone who we see each other at times through the year in person. We talk more on Instagram and through text, but we don't see each other that often because she's working and I'm working. Where you and I see each other basically every day.
Yes.
And I wondered if you both had the same feeling.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
So that means something. You know what I mean?
Well, what was my point to all this?
I don't know.
Love, happiness. Couples therapy. Oh,
so couples therapy. That's my question.
Are you guys going?
No, not yet, because we've only been together 4 months. But
she doesn't want to scare her yet.
But, when do you suppose you start going?
Personally, I would say the sooner the better. I mean, I think a 6 month mark is a pretty good point to go.
Interesting.
Are you there?
But.
Well, we're not 6 months yet.
Close.
Four. I literally said 20 seconds ago.
It just depends, like, how fast. I mean, Mike and I obviously went sooner than 6 months. We went around the four-month mark. But yeah. it's just it kind of depends, you know, how far along the relationship is on that level.
Well, let me ask you this question. Because I go to a couples therapist, I just go alone. And I'm her first solo client.
So you need to go see someone else then. That's my recommendation. You should have your own one, and then you all should go to one that's neutral parties. So, like, our couples therapist will not see a solo.
Well, my question is, because when I would play ball, the coach's son was always one that was treated the harshest. I'm afraid to go into her with my girlfriend because she would, like, crack down on me all the time trying to prove a point.
It's the best when that happens. But, I would say keep that one to yourself. And then have the neutral, because she will probably go more her side just to show her that, like, she's not just Team Bobby, you know?
Well, I wish anybody would be Team Bobby these days.
We're all Team Bobby.
I'm old news now. All right, what's your second quarantine song, Jana?
Okay, so what we do in our family, we have dance parties. So one of the songs that we dance to in the house is Never Enough. Like, the Greatest Showman soundtrack is our jam right now. And Never Enough is up there.
Have you seen Greatest Showman?
Yes, I've seen the movie. I don't know this song, though.
Okay, here is The Greatest Showman, Never Enough.
So good.
Can you hear that, Jana?
Oh, I can hear it.
Okay.
And then my daughter goes, Never Enough.
It's the hard part to dance to right here.
Who is this singing?
No, I promise you, it's like a lyrical dance. And my daughter, it's so cute, and we just go for it.
Oh, you do a lyrical dance. Does it ever bump up?
It does. I promise you it bumps up. Okay. And like the middle to the end.
Who is this singing? Is this Zendaya?
I honestly have no clue.
Mike?
Lauren Alred?
I don't know who that is. All right, here we go.
Either, but...
I like this movie, and I watched it with no hype. It was just on. It is early. I bought it, watched it. Some people said it sucked. Some people said they liked it. But then it ended up being, I just remember from Dancing with the Stars, I danced to it.
Yes.
As my final dance.
Oh, you did. See, I had no desire to watch it at all, but then Mike kept playing. He always sings like the Hugh Jackman songs on the album, and I started to love the music. So I'm like, all right, I got to actually see the movie now. And because I love the soundtrack so much, I thought the movie was great.
All right, what else you got over there?
Cinderella Man, Eminem.
Man, this was the song that I would listen to before I had any big appearance. It was right.
Really?
Yes. I love this song because it's like the underdog story.
Is this to hype you up? You're listening to this?
Well, I would listen to this song all the time. I remember before I went on Regis and or Kelly Ripa, when I went in to guest host that show, and I listened to this all morning long before I went in because it's like...
It's just so good. It hypes me up before I just... I'm like, okay, like, let's just do it. Stop the panic, stop the anxiety, and just, like, go.
Because the Cinderella Man reference is, well, there's a boxer, right? The movie Cinderella Man.
Yes.
But it's like what Cinderella is, it's the underdog, the person you don't expect, the working class person that is now going, you know what? I am the Cinderella story. I'm not supposed to make it, but I'm about to.
Amen to that, Bobby.
Was this song made for the movie?
No.
Okay.
No. But yeah, this is one of my favorite hype songs, too, of all time. That's a good one.
Yes.
That's a good one. Are you a big Eminem fan because you're Detroit?
I'm 1,000%.
You ever met him?
Never, but I know where his house was, and so in high school we'd always like drive by his house and kind of stalk him to see if he was outside. Never got to see him though.
Where he lived then, or like 8 Mile House,
the then. Trailer.
So I mean, like the real pretty mansion had the guard out front.
Was it huge, Dana?
It was ginormous.
Wow.
I don't know if he still lives there or not, but if you ever go to Michigan, I'll give you the address just in case.
8 Mile, a pretty bad place, like crime.
I mean, I wouldn't want to go there, but yeah, I mean, I was born in Detroit, but I can't say I'm from Detroit, even though I like to give me like some street cred, but I'm from 40 minutes northeast. So it's not great, but I mean, I feel like any big city kind of has struggles with crime and stuff. I feel Nashville's getting bad.
Parts of anywhere can be. Yeah. I went to Watts. On American Idol last night.
You did.
They were like, would you go to Watts? She's been in gangs and she lives in Watts. And I was like, I knew they weren't going to send Ryan. He's worth too much. I wouldn't send Ryan either. I wouldn't send the superstar. And so we packed up a van and drove into Watts.
What was that like?
Whatever. You know, here the general rule is in life, it's same as it is in bad neighborhoods, the same as it is in the woods. You don't mess with things that you shouldn't mess with. They're not going to mess with you for the most part. Okay. Unless they're hungry. Or really, really, really bad timing. For the most part, you don't mess with people. It doesn't matter. They're not going to mess with you. It's like a snake.
Yeah.
You know, people are always
step on. Get that.
People are always afraid of snakes. But here's the thing. If you don't step on a snake or the snake's not in odd mate, you're fine. What was your thing, Jana?
Well, no, this is the weirdest thing, and I don't know why, but I've always wanted to, like, when I was in high school, I always wanted to do, like, the Save the Last Dance, you know, where she goes to the school. And... I don't know why. Like, I don't know why I wanted the Michelle Pfeiffer movie.
Which is, what's that one, Mike?
Michelle. Oh my gosh, that was
Gangsta's Paradise was the song. Oh, yeah. Dangerous Minds.
Yeah,
good one.
Like, I don't know why. I'm like, just for 1 week, I just want to like be there. Not sure why.
Yeah, you know, Hollywood. I come from kind of like a small town version of that. Yeah, maybe for like a day.
Yeah, my high school was bad. People got stabbed there.
They sent
the gang
kids from all the other schools to our school because we would take them. So
we only had someone that did brass knuckles, but you know.
Come on, we all had brass knuckles.
When you made the honor roll at our school, you got brass knuckles.
You couldn't go to school without it.
Yeah, they gave up. What's your next song, Jana?
Okay, I'm going back down. Come Away With Me, Norah Jones. That's my chill in the bath, glass of wine at the end of the day.
I saw her at, what was the outdoor venue in Austin?
The backyard.
Yeah, we all sat in white fluffy chairs and watched Norah Jones and come on.
There's just something so relaxing about her voice and that song. It's just peace.
I just remember being really small. The show was good, but I went to meet her afterward. Why small?
Was she not nice?
No, small as in like her stature, physical stature, small.
Oh, okay.
Because she's up and she's so good and just doing her little jazz thing. And she only had two songs that we knew at the time.
Yeah.
Come Away With Me, and the big one, I don't know why you didn't call that one. And
that's so good.
Yeah. And your final song, Jana.
Okay. Because of everything going on, it's probably one of the best written songs I've ever heard. Wash Your Hands, Raging Idiots.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Yay. Number one kids song.
Jana, you're crazy.
Number one kids song.
I'm telling you, it's so good. I play it for the kids, and they're obsessed with it.
Thank you. We're pretty. Listen, that one came back out of nowhere.
Yes. Did you know that we took on Baby Shark and we beat it?
That's right.
I mean, guys, that's a huge accomplishment.
Thank you.
Serious.
Baby Shark's scared of us. All the writers?
Baby Shark's amazing. So is the Car Shark one right now. That
Wait, what's
my
Car?
Son loves.
What's Car
it's
Shark?
Like, baby car, vroom, vroom, boom, boom.
They have a baby car
is that,
song?
Is that like the same people that did that? Or like...
I have no idea.
Baby
like is...
car, vroom, 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 vroom. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's, no, it goes, yeah, it goes, baby car, vroom, vroom, boom, boom, baby car, vroom, vroom, boom, boom. And then it goes, grandma car. And then, yeah, it, and then it goes, the monster truck. Monster truck, boom, boom, vroom.
Dang, I guess you could just do all those, huh?
I know.
All sounds, so all good. Things.
Yeah, sure. Should we start coming up with
Well, no, we can't because we didn't write that melody. But, hey, Jana, I'm going to play a little bit of Good Enough here. Here is Jana's song, Good Enough.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Here we go. This is her latest single. Tell me about the song, Jana.
I was writing a song about, because I always feel like whenever relationships end, it's like I always go to, why wasn't I good enough? Why did he leave? Why did this happen? And it's such a reverse way of thinking. And when I was writing the song, I'm like, why am I writing a song about why I'm not good enough for someone else? Like, I just should be good enough for myself. And then maybe that's when I'll find the great love I've always kind of looked for. And so that was just kind of one of those female empowerment, you know, wanting to be like, hey, just be good enough for you and, you know, everything else will be okay. But I almost feel like right now I have a song coming out in April. It's called Untouchable. So I feel like maybe that should come out now since we can't really touch anything. So.
Oh, I get it. There you go. Boom. Thank you, folks. She'll be here all week.
Bum, bum, bum. Yes.
And are you still doing the Moms and Babes box?
Yeah, I am. It's a hard business, though. I'll tell you what, but I'm just, you know, I'm just throwing darts at stuff and just cranking away and trying to, you know, do what I can and support the family. And the podcast has been really fun. You know, obviously I do, you know, that. And then we've did some touring, which is obviously on hold right now, but it's, you know, just trying to grow as much as I can and support the good old family.
On the wind down, well, first of all, our podcast is called Wind Down, WHINE, Wind Down with Jana and Mike. And so when you do the tour, though, because I'm curious if people want to come out to a show, you do like a podcast, a talk, but then you do music too?
So it's more of like an evening with. So this when you come, like we have right now our L.A. dates are rescheduled to May. Hopefully it still stands. But it's more just like an evening with Mike and I. We go out there, we talk. We have a few things that we touch on, some really good communicating tools that we've learned in therapy. But then it's also funny, too. So it's not just we kind of share two things that were really imperative that we learned in therapy. So we share those, and then we, you know, we say a few jokes, and we laugh, and then we answer questions. So we do that for about, like, 60 to 90 minutes, and then I'll sing for about 30 minutes.
Oh, cool.
And then after that, we'll sign and meet everybody. So it's a really, really fun time, and it's nice to hear people's stories because sometimes – you know, it's hard to put your life out there and receive criticism, but then you also, and I'm like, oh man, I sometimes regret doing that. But at the same time, it's nice to meet people out there that it's actually helping.
Well, go check out the tour when it's back up, and it will be back up. We will together beat Corona and we will get back on the road. All of us get back to work.
Fingers crossed. I'm kind of wanting to do some kind of virtual reality game hang where we can all just hang out, you know, do something.
You can follow Jana when she announces her virtual reality tour at Kramer Girl. Thanks for spending some time with us, Jana. You know, we love having you on.
No, you're the best. Thanks for having me. Love you both.
All right. Bye, Jana.
Bye, Jana.
Okay. Bye, guys.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.